This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Ben's column in the July 24th, 2008 edition of The Reader is titled Magic Beans, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Well, Ben, you describe a land deal that has a worse chance of succeeding than you beating Bernard Lagat in the 1500. Who is Bernard Lagat and what is the 1500?
Bernard Lagat is the greatest mid-distance runner in the world right now. And the 1500 is a 1500-meter run. And Lagat is probably going to win the gold medal in the upcoming Olympic Games. So I thought with the Olympic theme, you know, and I'm a huge Bernard Lagat fan, so.
Not to mention a track and field fan, too.
Right.
Well, let's get down to business. Let's talk about Michael Reese Hospital.
Okay.
In the 1980s, Michael Reese was a highly regarded 600-bed, not-for-profit teaching hospital. Now, several for-profit owners later, it's a financially troubled 150-bed hospital owned by Envision Hospital Corporation, which is a physician's partnership and investment firm. That firm, Envision, rents from Medline Industries, a company that somewhere along the way bought the land on which Michael Reese Hospital sits. Okay so far?
Right.
In your article, you surmise that Medline, quote, was one of those lucky, in the right place at the right time investors who happened to be looking to sell when Mayor Daley was desperate to buy. I wonder if it was really that coincidental, given that, as the Tribune reported, even though Envision's lease with Medline went to the year 2020, Medline started soliciting buyers for the property last year, till Medline eventually notified Envision that it would terminate Envision's lease. What do you think about this chain of events?
Medline bought the property in 2004, and in 2004, there was no Olympic plan. I talked to Medline, but they didn't really have much to say. But I suspect that when they purchased the property, there were some savvy souls in the organization who were thinking this was a great speculative investment, that eventually Michael Reese would go out of business and then they could sell the land for development.
So you think they saw that Michael Reese was on the ropes?
Yeah. Well, that's the trend in hospitals. There's many different issues involved in this particular matter, one of which is the future of the healthcare industry in Chicago and whether we need hospitals in every neighborhood, which is the tradition going back to like the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. Pretty much every region of the city had one or two hospitals. Now, of course, we're watching them go out of business and they become real estate deals. So that's one issue. I suspect that Medline purchased it with the intention eventually of selling it off. I don't think they could ever have dreamed that the buyer would be the city of Chicago wanting desperately to purchase land in this area to woo the International Olympic Committee in order to be rewarded with the Olympics. So that's why I'm saying they were lucky. They happened to own the prize piece of land that the city needed to make its Olympic bid complete. The beauty of the land deal for Medline is that the city increased the value of the land by guaranteeing they would tear it down and give it the zoning it needs to be redeveloped. And this is an important point. If the two of us, Dave, Ben, set up a property firm and wanted to speculate on Southside real estate, and we went to Medline to buy their property, our transaction, our deal would be contingent on getting the city approval that the city automatically assumes, the zoning change that they need to put a high-density residential in there, the building department approval to demolish, the department environmental rubber stamp on the environmental cleanup, the subsidy from the city to buy the thing.
But with the city as purchaser, that's all greased.
It's all greased. If you and I were buying it, it would be much more of a speculative deal, much more contingent on getting approval from the city. We'd be paying campaign contributions up the wazoo to every single alderman who had any kind of influence in all this. We'd be going to all the mayor's fundraisers and telling the papers what a wonderful guy he is. We'd be playing the game the way developers do in this town to get that sort of magic ticket, which is the zoning and the acquisition approval, essentially. And the city doesn't have to worry about that, so it's an easy purchase for Medline.
You speculate that after the city finishes developing the Olympic Village housing, the city will have trouble selling the property to a new owner, making it hard for the city to pay back its lender. Won't the city have to prove to its lender how it'll cover the loan, in that case, presumably through city revenues? And when it does, won't it become public that the city is essentially using taxpayer money?
Number one, it's not so much that it's going to be hard to get somebody to buy the land. It's just that the city's going to have to sweeten the pot to get somebody to buy the land. And that moves into your second point, which is how is the city going to finance this? And you're absolutely right. What the city hasn't come out and said yet, and which they're trying to keep people from focusing on, is that this will require expenditure of public funds. And my assumption is, based on every other transaction of the last decade or so, that it'll come out of a TIF account, because that's what the TIF account is there for. It's a standing pool of money that the mayor can dip into when he needs to buy something or knock something down. In this case, it's a twofer. This is a publicly financed deal that is being shrouded in this notion that it's a privately financed deal. Well, there's no private money committed to this thing yet.
So you're saying that when the city gets the loan, it will probably tell the lender that we're backing this loan with public funds right now?
Absolutely. Why else would a lender give us the money? Do you think if you were a big bank, Mayor Daley came to you and said, I want to borrow $85 million, and to pay it back, I'm going to give you the proceeds of a sale that hasn't happened to a developer who hasn't been identified at a time that hasn't been established? No way. They're going to say, what are you going to put up to pay back this loan? And he's going to say, public dollars. That's 101 of how real estate transactions happen when the city buys property. When the city buys property, they have to pay public dollars to buy them. What the city doesn't want the public to realize is that they're expending dollars that could go for other services. So what they do is they concoct this Rube Goldberg scheme of financing that takes reporters precious paragraphs to explain, and the reporters really aren't clear how it works anyway, and the public gets bewildered in the middle of the explanation and walks away with this sort of vague thought that, oh, some private company is working. I call it the Millennium Park strategy. It's a brilliant strategy. If you go right now in the streets of Chicago and ask people who built Millennium Park, chances are they'll tell you it was built with donations from rich people. And that's just not true. Millennium Park was built with public dollars. It's being maintained with public dollars. I'm not saying it's a horrible expenditure. I'm just saying if you're going to be an educated person who knows how your city works, then you'll be trying to figure, of all the needs we have, was this the best need? You could argue it one way or another. But don't go walking through the world thinking, oh my God, the wonderful rich people of Chicago gave us this beautiful gift, Millennium Park, because they're so nice and they like us. See, that's where my fellow Chicagoans, come on, people, don't be dumb. You know, don't go through life with your eyes closed and your ears shut. You know, wake up.
Well, we're here to wake them up, Ben. Just as those...
Get me going!
Just those reporters have to spend precious column inches. We're spending precious minutes trying to decipher this for them. And
yeah.
I think we've kind of figured it out.
We've kind of done it. I mean, it's pretty basic. If you're going to buy something, you're going to have to spend money. If you don't have private money identified, and they don't have private money identified people, otherwise I would have identified it, you're going to have to spend public money. To quote my daughter, duh!
Well, thanks for that explanation, Ben.
You're welcome.
This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.